be caught on audio because it won't be authentic.
Welcome to a special episode of We're Libertarians. We're actually taking some photos today for the website, Facebook, all that kind of stuff. We have dressed in our cult outfits of a black shirt and khakis. We were going to wear jeans, but I don't own jeans. So we had to go with what Dear Leader has in his closet.
Yes, everybody else had to buy khakis. Thank you, Chris.
I bought a nice black shirt, though. So I put out $27 at Meijer for this nice little shirt. Are you proud of
it? You paid $27 for that?
Shut up, Hannah.
At Meijer. At Meijer.
At Meijer, of all things.
All right, so we'll start. We'll go around the room and introduce everybody who's here. Greg is not here yet because he was, I don't know, stuck in some apartment with some floozy and forgot about today. So we'll let's start with Aaron. We'll go around. We'll do ladies last.
Chris, how are you, brother?
Aaron, speak right into that microphone, please.
It's right inside my mouth.
That's all right. That's what I like to hear. Yeah. Your cousin Tyler may be joining us here soon.
Yeah. Thanks for making me buy khakis. I got sexually harassed at Express for a half an hour while I was trying to pick some out.
It was the haircut.
You went to Express. What did you expect?
I'm a good-looking man.
I know. Were you sexually harassed by a male or female? Not that it matters.
Males. They're all males.
All right. Congratulations. Yeah. Harry Price joins us. Harry, how are you?
I'm going good. How are you?
Good.
I'm glad you picked the black shirts and the khakis, the khaki pants, which shows every stain, and with the black shirt, that shows every cat fiber on it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I know. I am covered in cat hair. Harry, you look magnificent. You look like you've lost weight.
I have. I am down actually 15 pounds since the start of the year. I've been up running 7 miles now.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Good job. Also joining us is Mr. Brett Bittner. Brett?
Yes, I am here.
Can we get a little powder on top of his head, please?
Yeah, please. I just cut my hair yesterday, so it's going to be a little shiny.
Hair. Brett is here. Troy, the photographer, Troy Hill, is taking pictures. Best known as Rupert's photographer and the photographer of Hannah's wedding.
Photographer to the stars.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Photographer of Dear Leader. He's my official photographer. I was trying to think of the name of Hitler's photographer. I saw a documentary last night, and then I realized not any of that was appropriate. Hannah Drozich, you're also joining us.
Hannah Cook, thank you.
Oh my gosh, that's right. You've gotten married since the last time you were here.
Let me see that ring.
True.
Holy God. Man, you nailed a whale, didn't you?
Yeah.
It's true.
Yep. Todd, whom we all like better than Hannah, we were very excited that they got married. I was a little sketchy on Todd in the beginning.
Everybody is.
Yeah, but he turns out to be a delightful man. How he ended up with you, I'll never know.
Because I'm amazing.
Hannah hasn't been on the podcast very much because of our no abortion policy. We don't talk abortion on the show anymore.
Don't kill the babies.
That's the first thing that she talks about. And then
not true.
Then someone who will be more of a staple of the program, Chloe Anagnos, is with us.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
You look very lovely.
Oh, thank you.
Both of you look lovely. We invited Hannah, even though she's not on as often, just because we needed more females, so we didn't look like such a male-oriented podcast. Here's a bunch of nerds with glasses. Oh, we have girls, too, that are, like, attractive and not, you know, like me in a wig.
We did float that idea, though.
Yeah, Greg is running behind again because of he was, I don't know, stuck in an apartment. He forgot about the photos. He has a very good organizational program set up. He said, I've overcommitted, so I just stopped putting things on my calendar, and I'm just going to show up when I get frantic calls of, where are you?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, that's
that
it.
Reminds me of all the stuff we've been doing for the AFF event recently.
Hey, Greg, did you do that? Oh, shit.
Exactly.
But he has a BlackBerry. I thought the BlackBerry is supposed to help you with all that, keep
I know.
You organized.
No. I know. Yeah. So we really wanted to record this because we have something very, very exciting coming up, and I'm not just talking about photographs.
That's true.
We are doing a live show, We Are Libertarians Live, for the first time ever at Morty's Comedy Joint on April 25th, 2016.
Sorry about the glare, Troy.
That is 8 days from now, and we will be there at 7:15. The cover charge is $5, a ticket to get in, and then they have food, beverages of all varieties.
The food is really good. We were there recently to see Chris's 20-year-old girlfriend, Emily. I don't know if you guys have heard.
She's 20.
But she's 20, and Chris is dating her. Anyway, she was there for a competition and did very well. The food is good. Drinks are a little steep, but, you know.
No, we're trying to get people to Morty's Comedy
Show. I know. I'm saying I'm trying to help them.
All right.
You buy the food because it's good and inexpensive, and then you just skimp out on the drinks.
Nah, you drink some vodka before you go in.
Pre-game.
How about you show up and spend lots of money? Because here's the deal. We are doing this because the comedy club is taking a chance on a political podcast. As you know, this podcast is very funny. This is a very funny podcast. I've talked to many people who have said this is the funniest podcast that they know they listen. Not any other podcast even comes close to this podcast in terms of being funny. People tell me all the time how funny this is.
Are you making podcasting great again, Chris?
I am. And so the Comedy Club is taking a chance on a political podcast, and this is a great outreach event. This is a great event for We Are Libertarians. It's going to be hopefully a monthly thing, but we have to have people show up. We have to prove to the club that you will show up and that you will spend money and you will buy their drinks and their food and their tickets, and it helps us a little bit too in terms of financing the podcast. So please show up. It's Morty's Comedy Joint in Indianapolis on the north side. They have a new location over in the old Don Pablo's by District Tap by Drake's
Chick-fil-A,
but right next to Chick-fil-A. Great. It's such a beautiful venue too. It's gonna look great. It's going to sound great. It's going to be great.
It's just gonna be great, you guys.
It's gonna be great. We're gonna have some games. We're gonna have all the Weird Libertarian stars there, hopefully, except for Hannah, but she's not a star. And
for the children
and Mittens. So Mittens will not be able to make that particular podcast. But maybe we'll bring Cornelius. Mittens, come here, kitty. Come here.
Now,
all right.
Traditionally, we drink Two Hearted. So if you want to be a pal and send some of those up on stage to Greg,
the good news is they serve Bell's Two Hearted there.
They
do. Because we had some the other night.
Yeah.
Oh, good, good.
No, Morty's, they're good people. So come and join us. It will be entertaining. It will be fun. We'll have games. We'll do question and answer. And it's not going to be a hardcore politics. We really want this to be a monthly outreach event. So once a month, not only will listeners get kind of a question and answer basics of libertarian podcast, you can bring your friends and introduce them to the show and libertarianism in a fun way, because frankly, who the hell wants to go to a business meeting?
Exactly.
Yes. Right. I mean, nothing against business meetings, but nobody wants to go to a business meeting their first time out. So, we are all about creating new libertarians on this podcast. So, please go to wearelibertarians.com. Join the event, spread the news, buy a ticket. You can buy the ticket already, and we thank you very much. So that is the big announcement. I have talked for nearly 8 minutes, and Greg is still not here. He is 40 minutes late.
Normal.
He's just
normal.
Trying to make sure you have pants on,
His?
Like we all were.
Well, Troy said he was going to show up a half an hour early.
That's always a mistake.
I was so buck-ass naked at 1:30, too.
He has time to make memes, though.
He has time to make that kind of meme.
Of course.
That is an offensive meme. No, don't take a photo of that. That's offensive.
It's memeception, dude.
I know. So
I really hope he's bringing alcohol with him.
There's probably
you can't buy alcohol on Sunday, you know.
You can get a growler.
Well, you can get a growler, and there's a brew house right here.
Yeah, I was going to bring a growler, but like last time I tried a day drink at the podcast, no one wanted to drink with me.
I'll drink with you.
Dang it. See, I should have.
All right, he has sent.
Because I was at Triton yesterday. I picked up growlers.
I went to Stack.
No, it's too far away. 13 miles to the gallon. I'm not doing that.
Greg has sent photos of the woman from last night. He is allowed to be late.
Wait, let me see.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, he sent pictures. Oh,
yeah, he sent photos. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right or left?
Left. No, don't.
Yeah.
In the Colts?
Yeah, yeah.
This is good audio here.
Yeah,
this is
great audio.
Here's
guys.
The important one.
Oh,
great pod.
Great audio.
Great pod.
Everybody make sure that you tune in so that you can hear Chris go
all right.
Crazy over pictures.
See, and that's why you want to go live, so you can actually see this
stuff.
You can
see
it. No, because I feel bad for the poor woman who has no idea her boobs are getting shown to hundreds of people.
It's on
Facebook. We're not gonna show that. No, that was actually a covert photo. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell her. I told you guys.
Never mind.
Yeah, bleep that out.
It never happened.
We're making all of this
just
up.
Just like our first attempt at this.
His parents, listen. I'm lying. We're making it all up. Let's do a little addendum. The we're rolling here. You two have the blue microphone. Greg.
She'll just pretend that McDonald's cup is a microphone.
Oh, God.
Greg. Good Lord.
I can't get the rest out.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Is that a sweet tea again?
Yeah. Yes. Careful with all that sweet tea. Greg.
Some of us got our fill at Cracker Barrel this morning.
Did you go there?
Yeah.
Oh, Cracker Barrel.
Dude, it's
that's
Sunday.
The best. Well, Chick-fil-A's best
Sunday
sweet tea.
Sunday and Wednesday are the best days to go to Cracker Barrel.
Why? Chicken broccoli special
on Wednesday,
yeah.
And today is homestyle chicken.
Look what you've done to her.
What? You turned her into a southerner. She's a monster.
Pedro tells me that all the time.
You have to talk right into that mic there. Yeah.
Are we actually talking?
Yeah. Why not? Hey, why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, we're doing an addendum now that Greg's here.
Where were you last night?
I was here. At my house.
Oh, I thought you and Emily went to see some comic.
No. We talked. There was an offer for Friday to go see a Gary Goldman, but
yeah.
I ended up not going. Last night, I stayed here and watched Hitler documentaries all night. I watched a solid.
Of course you did.
I watched a solid 8 hours of Holocaust documentaries.
Has your perspective changed?
I've like wept at secret, like Escape from a Nazi Prison, I think it is, on Netflix. It's a PBS documentary, the blue cover. Brilliant. Great documentary.
Huh.
Yeah. I watched Hitler's Children, about the children of the descendants of like Himmler and a bunch of other.
Because his family members all took a pledge not to procreate.
Yeah. And so the Goering kids, there's two Goering descendants left, and they both had themselves fixed. So they can't. They had themselves sterilized, so there won't be another Goering.
From the bloodline.
Right.
I'm about to get snipped myself.
You are?
Are you?
Yeah. Did you mass murder 6 million people?
Not yet.
just on social media.
Well, there's been a lot of talk, Greg, about where you were last night.
We only talked for about 15 minutes about it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, your mom's
I know.
Do I have to edit that out? Is it a secret? You're so shady about your... I share everything about my personal life. Everybody knows everything, and you are the exact opposite.
Well, I don't, you know, part of being a gentleman and a good person is not necessarily sharing your...
How dare you?
What you do. No.
That was a shot.
No, it was not.
That was a shot.
Because you have a very wonderful girlfriend who's quite nice, so I don't mean it that way. I don't know. I don't know what it is yet. I barely remember it.
It'll come back in bits and pieces throughout the week, right?
Already happened. I left and
do I need to get
already
a
came back.
Camera so you can like start taking pictures of things.
The thing is, we're not social media friends on any platform, so like,
oh no.
I was checking for tags like, oh god, and friend requests, and I'm like, okay, we're good. Because I know how you two are. You and Aaron, as soon as like you add a female on Facebook, you two immediately
add. Oh, we want to know the deets.
Total creepsters.
And then go straight to their oldest selfie you can find.
And like it.
And like it and hit LOL.
And then I'll get messages LOL. Like with a girl that I used to date from Avon that you fell in love with.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all of a sudden you're like besties and commenting on everything on her social media.
And then if it hadn't been for that one foreign dude, We would have fell in love.
Oh yeah, I remember. And then
is this how Amir came into the whole picture?
No, that came from Aaron's Aaron's just extroversion.
Checking. No, Amir's in love with me.
He is.
Amir does have the hots for Hannah.
I thought Hannah was gonna just run away at the church just with her wedding dress.
He was
like,
convinced I was gonna marry him. He was gonna talk me out of marrying.
You were gonna be his Syrian princess.
Apparently, it did not happen.
And there's a past relationship where like Aaron friended the girl just because he knew it would trigger me.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
I mean it was a straight up.
And you wonder why I keep things quiet, yeah, like with you two as friends.
Hours, exactly.
That's why I don't share a single thing because I know immediately you're going to be like, oh, you should come to Liberty and chill. Greg's been avoiding you for a month, but yeah, why don't you come? We'd love to have you.
Straight up aggression from Aaron.
I know he is a terrible troll.
I added his mom.
You did,
and Jeff Everett's mom.
Jeff Everett's mom is the sweetest lady on the planet.
Yeah.
I don't know. Your mom's up there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm partial, so I can't speak to you.
No,
know.
I will put you out. You don't have to say anything. His mom is wonderful.
She is. Yeah.
Both parents are really awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sit with them at AFF events.
She goes and,
when
and
you,
hangs
when
out
you
with
remember
the two Republicans.
Who they are,
when
right?
I remember who they are.
She looks at them and she goes, so, What's your deal?
What's your deal?
Hi, I'm Chloe. Like, nice to meet you. We met 4 months ago at the last event. Thanks.
Isn't it crazy how, like, you are very accomplished in pageantry and social settings, and then you're introduced to a new person one-on-one, and it's like, hi. How are you? What's your deal?
Yeah, it's like that all the time. Yeah. Every new person.
Do you do well in pageantry events when it's like your turn to, you know... Yeah. Do you always say world peace? That seems to be like what everyone wants.
No, I pull the whole 9/11 from Family Guy thing.
Whoa. Yeah.
What?
That's why she wins all the best interview awards.
Okay, so you haven't seen the episode of Family Guy when Lois
go to her office.
Is running
for city council
or something.
Yeah, right.
And she's like doing a speech and debate thing or whatever, and her coach is like, just say 9/11. That's a good answer for everything. And they're asking, like, you know, what can you do to make Quahog better? She goes, 9/11. And everyone like stands up and they're applauding.
Yeah, you should check out. She's got like 50 certificates for best interview. They're all over her office framed.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. She's very accomplished.
Stop. She is.
And yet she ended up here.
And you know, she does have a signed version of that push card over there for me.
I do. Mm-hmm.
Little Brett Bittner.
That's right.
Yep,
it says, thanks for your support.
Little Brett Bittner.
Or thanks for your continued support. Yep.
Continued
That's right.
support. That's what it is. So.
This is. He looks like a cute little chipmunk. Doesn't he?
Does that make me Dave then? Like... No one got it.
Never mind. There we go.
Drawing.
That was the one missing.
You had a missing part of your mustache.
There you
so
go.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
You're right in the middle. You had a mustache.
Do you want me to bring over the other 500 or so that I have so that you can fill those into?
Who did those for you? Because I remember when you had those. No, the pictures.
Troy did those.
That
was from last. Yeah. That was from last year.
Troy's also, a great photographer.
Also missing the horns.
Yeah. Thank you. So. Thank you. Hey, when you mess with the bull.
Wait, isn't that contradictory?
No. All right, kids, thank you for joining us. Hey, remember, April 25th, Morty's Comedy Joint, 7:15, $5. Come hungry and thirsty. Bring your friends. All right, thanks for joining us. And
what's April 25th?
The live show. We Are Libertarians Live.
Oh, okay.
You'll get a frantic call about 7:12.
That's how you Chris know doesn't send a reminder the day before. He says it's an hour and 15 minutes before. Hey, is everybody going to be here? Remember?
Like, no. No, you defend. Even Hannah, my staunchest critic, defend me. We've all known about this, right?
It's true. Chloe and I met on Friday to figure out what to wear.
Right.
You did not.
Yes.
You
That's
ignored,
why they went to lunch.
Just because you ignored it. You ignored a group chat doesn't make it my fault.
You put me. I'm in seven with you, so it's hard to keep track.
Yeah, no kidding.
I know. I've been trying to slowly kill some of those.
And most of them with your ex-girlfriends.
No. All right. We'll see you on the 25th, and we'll talk to you later. All right. Because Dear Leader is generous and thorough, we're sitting here around the table busting balls and talking, and we're like, why don't we just do an episode? Why don't we talk? And we wanted to have Troy on anyways, but Troy's moving to California. Troy Hill joins us.
Oh, yes.
So around the table, we've got to my left, Greg Lins.
Chris, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. Tyler Weiss. Which
Weiss
is it, Aaron?
It's
Weiss. Tyler
Weiss. Weiss is a Jewish pronunciation.
We finished the photo shoot referenced earlier in the episode, and as soon as we all got done with the photo shoot, Tyler walked up. So
I did.
Did at least Gray Teen turn up?
We did turn up.
Did you win?
We didn't turn up high enough, though.
Oh, you lost your game.
We did lose.
And then Troy Hill. Hello, Troy.
Hello there.
The official photographer to the stars. Oh, yeah, Aaron. Hi, Aaron.
I'm not surprised you forgot me.
Wouldn't be the first time.
And then,
hey, Aaron, nice to meet you. I'm Brett.
Hi, Brett.
I had already referenced you. So, and then we've got Brett Bittner, little Brett Bittner over
little
here,
Bittner,
photo right. shooting at his own pace.
Yep, you know it.
All right. Oh God, that has become part of the lexicon. Like
people that don't even listen are now using
it. Yeah, it's
little Brett Bittner.
Yep. He's got little hands. Little small
with
hands.
His little hands.
Don't forget the Velcro shoes.
That's the Velcro shoes and the short bus.
I believe you
called
it the Kentucky Waterfall.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we don't know exactly what we're going to talk about, but Troy used to be a bigwig in the Tea Party and is no longer a part of the Tea Party. So we want to kind of talk about the demise of the Tea Party's power. I think that'd be kind of interesting. And we can also talk a little bit about Trump and Trump's demise, because I think the Trump campaign will not be your nominee at this point. That's my bold prediction.
So Troy's liberty's gotten a little fuzzier than Tea Party days, right?
Yeah.
Yes, correct. But let's be clear that I was in the organizing committees here in Indiana, not in the national Tea Party.
Yeah, so Troy came got involved in the Tea Party. You were a Republican. What would you identify now as?
Good question. I probably called myself a Republican then, definitely a big L libertarian now.
Gotcha.
I always like to call Troy a Kim Davis Republican.
Yeah, he's a Kim Davis Republican, right?
Oh, gee, thanks.
Troy was involved in the Indiana Tea Party. His photography skills, which you will eventually see, excellent photography skills.
He made Dear Leader look good.
He did. He got involved in the Rupert campaign as our photographer.
Media director, please.
Media director, yeah. So there wasn't much media, though, unfortunately. You did a lot of photo shooting more than you did media directing, sadly. Correct. Not your fault. Not that you didn't do an excellent job. It's just that the media didn't really care.
Yeah, pretty much.
And so now you're kind of on the outs with a lot of the people that you were in the Tea Party with, and we'll talk about that evolution. So what first attracted you to the Tea Party?
Basically, probably listening to Glenn Beck, Fox News, that entire little scenario leading into the aftermath of the 08 elections, 09, Obama takes over, everybody's, whoa, this is terrible, and Glenn Beck starts pushing the Tea Party.
Right.
So we started following that on Fox, and eventually it's like, well, hey, there's this guy talking about the Indiana Tea Party on Glenn Beck, and they're going to have the Thomas Paine reenactor come. So I was immediately emailing, trying to find something going on, got in touch with the organizers and said, hey, do you need a photographer? I'm happy to show up. And the next thing I know, I'm invited to committee meetings, and you know, we have 6,000 people on the courthouse lawn and our state house lawn. And pictures, and everybody's going nuts, and, you know, hey, this is a big thing. So we continued it, had another tea party in the rain on July 4th, as in pouring down.
Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah, with a parade. What was that, Market Street we went down?
Mm-hmm.
And, no, not Market. We went to White River Gardens, or White River State Park, sat in the rain. We had maybe 1,000 people on the march. We had about 50 stay for the actual program.
Right.
But it just kind of kicked off all around the state, and a lot of people were interested in, we want this to stop. Taxed enough already was what T stood for then.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't stay that way.
Yeah. You got involved in a Senate campaign, Richard Beeney. He lives in like Costa Rica now. He drank the Beck Kool-Aid and moved to Costa Rica.
Well, he did come back.
He did. Okay.
Yes. Right. He and his family did move back here. Great guy.
Yeah.
But you know, being one of four Tea Party candidates trying to get what's now Coates' Senate seat.
Right.
And nobody wanted to listen to the Tea Party guy. We had all these big-name people like Stutzman. He was, what, a state senator?
Yeah.
I remember talking to Marlon Stutzman in 2010 for the United Liberty podcast where we were doing some Liberty candidate interviews. And I thought, wow, this guy really should kind of stick to what he knows rather than trying to run for something like the Senate.
He was a farmer then.
And now, 6 years later, he's running for Senate again.
Yeah. So Troy, you move on eventually. You get it. You fall in with us. And where did your star falls? So where did you start? When did you start to feel like internally in the Tea Party that things were heading in the wrong direction?
It was actually interesting on the Beeney campaign. We were going through northeastern Indiana. I forget which county it was. But we were doing small town halls where we'd go to the Tea Party or Liberty group meetings up there. But the Liberty was directly connected to the Tea movement.
Right.
And one of the precursor questions to the Trump movement was always coming up. What are we going to do about these illegals? And Beeney, to his credit, I loved his answer. He said, you know, we just cannot round up whatever the number was, 6 million illegals. We are not that kind of people. And one woman stood up and said, you remember the Trail of Tears, don't you?
Oh, boy.
And that was just kind of an eye-opener for me. And I went, and Richard, to his credit, was like, we are not that kind of a country. So, you know, standing up for Richard there, he was a great guy on the issue. But on the way back, we had a discussion, you know, in the campaign mobile, the borrowed van that right. we were driving around the state in. And he's like, I don't know what to tell these people. I can't connect to them on that issue. And now we see what does connect. Trump right. with build a wall, build a catapult, whatever it takes.
Yeah, it goes as like as racist as possible. In my view, like the whole notion of building a wall is very... I spent, as mentioned earlier, all of the last weekend watching Holocaust documentaries. So I'm disposed to think that, or inclined to think that Donald Trump is Hitler. But...
Literally.
Yeah, but you do, when you move in those circles with the Tea Party people, you do, when it comes to Muslims and Mexicans, mm-hmm. there is just, it's flat out bigotry. It's not a matter of policy as Greg sees it, it's bigotry.
It is, but here in Indiana, there is a very deep religious undertone to it, especially in the Muslim interests. What they're trying to... put forth on the ideas of liberty is that we are a Christian nation. Therefore, any other movement that has religious overtones, such as, you know, Middle Eastern Islam trying to come in and, you know, actually have citizens of the United States be Muslim, they just don't like that.
Yeah.
We're a Christian nation. You're welcome here as long as you follow Christian laws.
So we're talking, let's define the Tea Party. I mean, the Tea Party that I went to in rural and, you know, central Indiana, it was a lot of middle-aged white people.
It was.
Almost predominantly. And then as soon as they, you know, someone like Emery McClendon mm-hmm. comes along, who's an African-American speaker, or a black speaker, as he'd probably like to be called, we got one.
Yes.
You know, there's that attitude of, well, we got one. Like, and I'm not, like, that's the whole attitude. It's not, I'm not trying to be racist. I'm just pointing out the fact that they are. So, but it is predominantly white. And what you hear in terms of, there's just like a mania about losing the majority status in these groups.
There is, and it comes down to when I was with the Indiana Tea Party, which was kind of a steering committee that helped other tea parties. They weren't a membership-driven organization, but what they wanted to do was reach out and help these other groups grow. But when I was in there, it was always... what can we do to get America to turn back to God?
Right.
And they ended up buying billboards and bumper stickers. A gentleman had designed an eagle motif, your typical patriotic thing, and it's America, yeah. Bless God.
Right.
And that's a great thing for a person to have.
And that guy spent thousands of dollars on that and, like, put America, Bless God bumper stickers, billboards all over the state of Indiana. By the way, you're doing an amazing job of being a trooper, considering there is some serious memeing happening around us. Oh, I saw it. So we'll explain the memes in a
little
bit.
That'll be some Russell Jimmies.
Yeah.
Just a few.
Yeah.
So I always felt the bigotry did purvey. It was pervasive in the Tea Party movement.
It is, and unfortunately, there's a lot of good people with misguided interests because they've fallen into this rhetoric trap of America's a Christian nation, therefore Christianity needs to be on top and everything needs to be filtered through the religion, which, as we dig into it, we find out that, no, America's always been a diverse nation, a melting pot, if you mm-hmm. will. And even when we go back to the writings of Madison and Jefferson, one of my pet peeves is you cannot listen to Glenn Beck's buddy David Barton and follow what he says as gospel truth, because once you dig into it, there's a lot more detail that's being skimmed over, and we don't know what the founders thought. We can only pick out what one or two thought on any given issue at any given point in history. So it's always been a melting pot, not a Christian nation.
So what would you say the major beliefs of the Tea Party have become?
Here in Indiana, it's liberty is tied to America turning back to God and becoming right with what they believe is the theocratic sense of how the country was formed, the divine providence that
Washington... One nation under God.
Yeah, which didn't come about until the 1950s.
Right.
So by the time we get into all these little details of when these things actually hit, we find out that this is a fairly new majority idea that we're tying religion directly into the national government as well as the state and the local governments.
Mm-hmm. Well, like the rise of the Christian right was 1950s, because exactly. Up until that, the Republicans had been the Bob Taft Party.
You right.
Know, the party, you know, they weren't opposed to cultural change. It was just the rate of change.
Country Club Republicans, Rockefeller Republicans.
Right.
Right.
Then they put together a new coalition of neoconservatives and the Christian right.
And then you get to Jerry Falwell and the Christian Coalition in the 80s. And
Rummy.
Under Reagan, they found a new friend in the White House. Because you look at Nixon. Nixon was not necessarily a spiritual person, but Reagan really...
And Ford didn't follow that either.
No. They were, but they didn't wear their religion on their sleeves. They were very much private. More of that old school... religion is a private belief, not a public belief. You don't talk about it in public. Then you get Reagan, who is overtly Christian. You get Pat Robertson running against him because he wasn't even Christian enough.
Right. Well, and so much of Reagan was about embracing a group that he saw that he could utilize.
And mobilize
it,
him.
It wasn't so much that it was his
belief,
but it was that he saw a group that he could mobilize. And I do have to echo a lot of what Troy said about the Tea Party in general. Those were my experiences in Georgia when we worked with the Tea Party as the Cobb Taxpayers Association. When we were working hard together on fiscal issues, it was fantastic.
Right.
Once we stepped outside of that and I had a debate on television about immigration, they all cut me out of their lives like I was a cancer just because I didn't believe the same thing about everybody. About everybody having to go back.
And you make people feel very unwelcome.
Yeah, so you find that once you really got into the beliefs of, you know, I was at all the major founding meetings of the Indiana Tea Party here in Indiana because they thought, well, all right, well, libertarians on economic issues were very similar. They believe in the Constitution. I was a proud supporter and evangelizer of the Constitution at that point.
You still. Even took a pitchfork to a meeting.
Oh, I did. I took a pitchfork to the what was the Glenn Beck, the first one?
912?
The 912 project.
Well, we surround them.
I was actually in D.C. for 912 back in, was that 09, I think? Where we were, it was all about fighting Obamacare.
Yeah. And so you know, and we agreed on a lot of stuff, and there was a lot of overlap. And so a lot of them said, "Well, there's no reason for you to be in the Libertarian Party. Come back home to the Republican Party." There are a lot of old school Republicans. And then once we got to once they really started to become more religion first, let's listen to David Barton. We've all got to have religion, blah blah blah. And social issues started creeping in. That's when we just started to separate ourselves and say, "Listen, these guys are just." They're your typical Republicans, only they're worse because they're, you know, they're...
pulling from both sides.
Yeah, and they're not willing to... There is no spirit of compromise. There is no willingness to see our point of view as libertarians on social issues, that if you work within the libertarian framework and the non-aggression principle and just good policy, they don't care because it doesn't jive with their Christian beliefs. And so it just came to a point where we stopped going and supporting and interacting with tea parties because it was pointless. I think by 2012, Rupert got invited to one tea party meeting because they were ecstatic over Pence running. Pence was their guy. But then even through that cycle, Pence wasn't religious enough. Pence wasn't Christian enough.
Well, he spent the last 4 years trying to prove them wrong, unfortunately.
Right. And so when you started, you know, more aligning yourself and arguing on Facebook with a lot of these prominent Tea Party people in the state, what was the reaction of Tea Party people that had known you for a long time and had worked side by side? How did they treat you?
Well, let's step back a minute. You just mentioned the Tea Party in Pence, and as part of the Indiana Tea Party steering committee that I was on, we got a private dinner meeting down here, just right down the road, at a cafeteria with the then congressman and his campaign staff, because we wanted some, you know, where do you stand on the issues? What's your philosophy of government? And as we were sitting there, we did the around the table introductions. And as they come around to me, I went, you know, I'm Troy. I'm the Jeffersonian conscience of the Tea Party movement.
How dare you?
Yeah, I know. It was terrible. And then as Congressman Pence then was giving his spiel about where he stood on, you know, oversight and, you know, general fiscal stuff, he talks about, you know, it's different working with the federal law as opposed to state law. And one of his volunteer Tea Party staffers that was in the room that was, you know, directly connected with his volunteer campaign went, well, what about God's law? And all the eyes swiveled to me because I'm the, you know, the out agnostic in the group. And they're like, oh, don't.
You're the Tea Party that's going to hell.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in the handbasket. I'm already there. Yeah. So, but as we worked on moving forward to that point, that was kind of my last major connection with the Tea Party. Because at that point, I was already starting to cover the Rupert campaign for a graduate school class I was in, and then that became the media director position. So I started talking on Facebook with the various issues that were coming out, especially after the election was over, Governor Pence was in, and we had the wonderful HJR3 gay marriage fiasco here in Indiana, which later became RFRA.
Yeah.
But Monica Boyer, who Abdul lovingly calls the Tea Party Empress here in Indiana, she and I were basically friends. We had worked through the Hoosiers for Conservative Senate campaign trying to oust Dick Lugar, which that did happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's Joe Donnelly.
Yeah.
Tea Party got the wrong guy elected. Yeah.
Exactly. But
have you ever been thanked?
No, Senator Donnelly has never sent me anything. But as we were moving on to HGR3, we end up talking a lot on Facebook. And wouldn't you know it, after I'm going, you know, this is not a liberty position. You guys are going off on to a religious position. Why don't you simply get the government out of marriage? We don't want to do that. We need to go this way because we're a Christian nation. And wouldn't you know it, all these little Tea Party folks started to suddenly block me, including Monica. Yeah. Not just unfriend me, block me.
Right, because you had a different opinion.
I had a different opinion, and I wasn't afraid to speak.
Right.
And I would jump into their threads and say, guys, you're missing the boat. Mm-hmm. You know, get the government out of marriage. Let's not go that way. But we have to.
What I found about Republicans in my time as a Republican and interacting with them afterwards is that it's a very top-down ideology, mm-hmm. and there is little room for disagreement or discussion or wrong opinions. It's they only want to hear the echo. They don't want to hear anything that might challenge them. Because my own personal Republican beliefs were shaken once I got around Andy Horning and Abdul Hakim Shabazz, and they started challenging my little Rush Limbaugh beliefs, and I had no answers because I had no facts that I could refute them with because I had never been challenged.
Yeah.
And so I ended up losing my faith and became a libertarian because I actually started using my brain and examining the facts. So you end up getting blocked. And what is the state of the Indiana Tea Party at this point? I mean, do you follow it, or can you see it since you're blocked?
A lot of them have unblocked me, but for my own sanity, we just kind of started dropping off the friend list.
Right.
It's. I didn't need the aggravation, the blood pressure spikes. Let's just go back to being mostly nice. There's a few people I keep because they can debate the liberty side sometimes. Just had one recently where the word unnatural keeps coming up about these bathroom bills. It's right. unnatural
right.
for a trans person to use the
It's restroom. Unnatural to use the restroom indoors.
Right.
Personally.
Just throwing that out there.
Toilet paper's unnatural.
Yeah. Yeah.
I use the women's restroom at gas stations because they're cleaner.
I poop in the women's restroom at work because it's cleaner.
Yeah, so.
You're both terrorists.
I do it because apparently. I don't recognize gender. I'm that progressive.
And the Tea Party hates you.
I only recognize this bathroom as Z. XE. So let's talk about presidential politics. So now that we've kind of talked a little bit about the Tea Party, I find it interesting that there is a schism because a few Tea Party people went for Rand Paul. Most of them have gone to Ted Cruz or Donald Trump, which is really interesting to me because Donald Trump is not Christian. 2 Corinthians, he, you know, just quoted his favorite verse is, you know, Corinthians 2. You know, he's with them on the immigration issue. He's actually, you know, what I honestly think happened is Roger Stone, who was in the Libertarian Party for the last 4 years, helped Gary Johnson in 2012, was a close friend and probably still is a close friend of Donald Trump, became an early advisor. There's some dispute as to whether Roger was left on his own or was asked to leave. But I think Roger
still involved because he's
his friend and his advocate.
He's
but
now threatening delegates.
Well, yeah. What the real problem was Trump refused to run a regular campaign.
Right.
He wasn't going to give him money to do polling on issues and testing. He's like, right. I'm not market testing what I believe.
Right. And he and also Roger's wasn't like, well, worried about a ground game.
Yeah, I don't want you to. Then I'm not. I don't know that I'm going to be effective. And how can right. I even help you if you're not going to run a regular campaign?
And right. so, you know, Roger, having been around the Libertarian Party for 4 years and around Tea Party elements, probably said, listen, immigration's a huge issue, and this is what people say, and probably is the one who has set a lot of the tone for what Trump is doing because, you know, Roger Stone set the market, and then Trump just went to do the marketing. You know, Stone is, I don't think he's affiliated with the Libertarian Party at this point.
I think he's actually running for U.S. Senate in Florida again.
All right. Well, you know, there's a lot of, we'll talk about Roger Stone some other time because I've got a lot of stories about that guy, but I just think it's disgraceful that he's threatening delegates on the behalf of Trump. But Trump has gone full immigration, and he's not really tried that hard to pretend that he's religious. But people like Jerry Falwell Jr. have lined up behind him. You know, when Ted Cruz gave the speech, Ted Cruz really, to me, seems to be the official messenger of the Tea Party message. He is a Dominionist, which, define Dominionist, please.
Oh, good question. Start with Christian nationalism, which is the idea that America is founded as a Christian nation and biblical principles are written into the Constitution.
Okay.
Take a smaller circle of those people, and it comes down to they believe that, Genesis 1, 22, 26, somewhere in there, that man shall have dominion over all the plants and animals. And basically, they've extended that to the U.S. shall have dominion over the world because Jesus is about to return and the U.S. shall be the sword arm of the second coming in the final battle.
Right. Hmm. Which
sounds reasonable.
Sounds like Christian Sharia law, to be quite frank. And Ted Cruz really is speaking their language. Cruz is somebody who, in you know, we heard from the president of FEE, the Foundation for Economic Education,
Larry Reed,
said that Ted Cruz, as a high schooler, took FEE courses, and he was one of the people selected by FEE to memorize and study the Constitution and then go out as a student ambassador and evangelize the Constitution across the nation. It's really in his DNA. And to me, it's always been an interesting dichotomy that the Tea Party is split between Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. I don't quite get it. Do you guys have any idea why there is that split? Because it seems like they should all just go to Ted Cruz.
I think they're all, from my perspective, they'd all go to Donald,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it was an outrage thing. It's an it was outsider first, not Christian. It became, you know, it adopted that sentiment of Christian providence. But it, more than anything, was that, listen, no, we don't have a voice. We don't have access. We don't have the ability to influence the laws we want. they were pissed off and they don't trust anybody that's ever been involved in politics before.
Yeah.
Well, after seeing the numbers of the initial Tea Party groups, you know, the tax day rallies back in 2009, that was a massive turnout. And that was a coming together of Union Democrats.
That's his delegation. It's the Donald Trump delegation.
Yeah, but it was also the right-wing conservatives. It was a strong libertarian small L presence. And as they started to advance more and more into policy and how can we affect the election outcomes, that's where those sideline groups started to fall off. And the Trump delegates or the Trump coalition following is coming back in. They were the ones that fell away because to them, immigration and strong foreign policy was the idea that they wanted to go for. It's American protectionism.
Peace through strength, and then isolate, like, you know, you know, still have immigration, but let's be more strict about who we let in, and let's track the ones we have and haven't tracked.
Right, but it was the religious right, the Jerry Falwells, the David Bartons, that the Glenn Beck movement tapped into, and those were the ones that were already organized. The Ralph Reed Christian right was already organized, and they knew how to do this.
He with a plan, is, you know, that's who dictates.
Exactly. So these people became activists again, led by a few that knew what was going on. And as the Tea Party moved forward, all these side groups kept dropping off, and you were left, again, with the Ralph Reed Christian Coalition-type groups.
Yeah, and just the ones that were least hostile to that stuck around in the name of, you know, well, we can compromise on this as long as we get that.
Exactly, and the social issues became the strong foundation of where they were going with their agenda.
Any other thoughts on why the dual choice?
It's actually mind-boggling to me, but the thread that I see for both candidates is seeing the anti-Muslim, anti-Mexican sentiment. I mean, it really does, like, that's the thread that holds them together in supporting either of those two candidates. Cruz's ability to speak Spanish, of course, excluded.
And Canadian.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Spangle speaks Canadian too. But you know, that's kind of what I see, and you know, when we were working together, like I said, when we were working together on tax issues, when we were working together on spending issues, it was part of a broad coalition. Ironically, it was the establishment Republicans that we were working against. It was the Tea Party.
John Boehner and
right. Well,
who is the guy from Virginia? Cantor.
This is a little bit more local. But what it was essentially the Democrats, the Tea Party, and the Libertarians who were fighting a tax increase. And it was the Country Club Republicans who were promoting it and talking about how conservative it was to raise taxes. Ironically,
it's the right thing to do.
It is the right thing to do,
as long as it's local.
And but then when we started, you know, when we went beyond that, when we started talking about other things, they were still on our side when it came to the Brave Stadium and the taxation and bond referendums there. When it came to some of the school referendums that we were talking about, they were on our side there. But once you stepped outside of their little circle of ideas that it was okay, you became the enemy.
You know what was really interesting about them, too, is that there was no coalition building on issues like a stadium or whatever.
Well, that was because we were building. Ours was a coalition that we built, and we held our meetings separately.
Yeah, here locally, when we tried to do joint events or we tried to do joint projects, the various tea parties, and there were, I mean, gosh, how many tea parties would you say there were around the state of Indiana?
There were 92 counties, and most counties had one or two, so probably in the 140 to 150 range. I think that's what we had groups represented at Hoosiers for Conservative Senate when we did the final, let's pick somebody to run against Lugar.
And there was a lot of warring between those groups, a lot of ego, a lot of you're not pure enough.
Oh.
And a lot of people who just, you know, the Libertarian Party became a bastion. Like, people would come up and go, well, I tried to go to a Tea Party because they're Republican, but they're crazy, so I'm going to be a Libertarian. And so we actually could say, like, hey, we have, like, the corporate, you know, libertarian-leaning guy who is a white-collar guy, and he's joining the Libertarian Party because the Republicans are too crazy. But when we would try and work with these various groups, on various issues, they were very suspicious of us, like we were trying to take them over. And it was kind of like, well, you'd have to let us take you over if we were doing that. No, we just want... They're very suspicious of us. They were very hostile to us because we weren't Republicans. Even though they were very anti-Republican, they were very anti any political party. And they also just didn't want to associate with anyone that wasn't 100% Tea Party, according to that group's ideology.
And back in the Senate race, what was that, 2010?
Yes.
And we had four different Tea Party candidates running. Which one's the right Tea Party?
Right.
So was it the Stutzman, the state senator? Was it former Congressman John Hostetler, who was identified in, I can't think of the name of the book right now, as one of the two Dominionist senators or Congress people from Indiana?
Right.
Our current governor was the other.
Yeah, nice. So let's move on to the presidential race, because I think what it's going to come down to, you know, Wisconsin was a big victory for Ted Cruz, and there was a big victory in, was it Nebraska? What was the one from this weekend?
I want to say it was Wyoming. They're not really elections.
Colorado.
Yeah, they're not letting people vote. They're just saying we're not voting for Trump and pledging to someone that wasn't voted on.
And you had a bunch of district delegate allocations happening in Virginia and other places around the country, which was very odd to me. And you also had the Georgia the district conventions that were happening, where they were
being picked off and targeted.
Right, and you saw that essentially Georgia became 14 districts for Cruz.
That happened in Colorado. There were basically eight separate elections. Ted Cruz went to the state convention and spoke. Donald Trump declined. Ted Cruz ended up winning that vote. And really what it's come down to is what I said to Greg months ago. The problem is that Donald Trump doesn't understand ground game and isn't building a ground game. He's running a media campaign. And when you are running a media campaign in a primary or caucus election to get the nomination, that's not going to work. You can't run that mass. It's about organizing and collecting delegates and mobilizing those delegates and knowing the inside of the rules. And the Trump campaign over the last month, if I were a Republican, I would be very, very concerned about having him as my nominee, because I've seen nothing but incompetence in terms of ground game and trying to win an election.
And the Democrats are going to jump all over that because they have get out the vote covered.
We've talked about Hillary Clinton, you know, having one person talking to a caucus goer 30 times, and then that one person is basically the shepherd, quote unquote, to get that person to the polls. And really, ground game wins elections. So I think it's going, if I'm a Republican Party person, I've never thought Donald Trump could get the nomination, although it got real close there about a month ago. But it just seems to me that Donald Trump is not likely to get the election because the party's looking at it and going, this guy doesn't have the organization it takes to win an election. You know, when you have things like the Washington, they send out mailers to Washington delegates too late, and they end up sending it to Washington, D.C. instead of Washington State. So do you guys think that Donald Trump is in trouble and may not win the nomination?
Well, I think when you're running in a convention-type atmosphere, and while this, for the Republicans, is a bit of a mixed bag because they have primaries and caucuses, and then you have delegate allocations that don't necessarily reflect the primary outcomes, you really do need to know the rules. And that was one of the things that the Romney campaign and the McCain campaign really knew. They knew the rules. It's one of the things that the Paul campaigns also knew. They knew the rules because they were running to make sure that they weren't shut out. And I think that it doesn't matter which party you're talking about. You have to know about superdelegates, Bernie Sanders. You have to know about running for convention delegates and showing up and meeting libertarians if you're trying to run for a libertarian nomination. And in the Republican Party, you have to know how the rules work at the convention. I think it lends itself very well to having a surprise nominee in Cleveland. I know that Roger Stone is already seeing that because he's starting to talk about what's going to happen in Cleveland if his way isn't seen.
Which is scary.
But at the end of the day, if you're not playing by the rules, you can't win.
Well, when I look at the list of the Indiana has something, I think it's like 57 delegates. and you look at the people that have been selected from the districts and then the people who were selected by the party to be delegates, I know a lot of the names on that list by reputation or personally. And when I look at that list, it's a lot of people who put a lot of time and effort into their party, who are true believers of their party, and their party first people. That is the point of delegates. The party rewards the people who show up and work the hardest for the party. And that's the same in the Libertarian Party. Delegates are generally the people that are working the hardest for the party or have done a significant amount for the party in the past. So you get a lot of former chairs, former executive directors, former elected officials, people who just are who own consulting agencies, who have elected a lot of Republicans through their work in the marketing of the candidates.
You'll be happy to know that your good friend Bob Barr was nominated as a delegate from his congressional district.
Congratulations. To the Libertarian National Committee?
No, the Republican Convention in Cleveland.
And so you get, you regret bringing that up down, don't you? And so when I look at that list, I see a lot of people, not necessarily people who are going to vote for an outsider who will slam the party in an effort to win the nomination. I see a group of people who are going to select the best candidate for them to advance the party's goals and platforms and to win an election against Hillary Clinton. I don't think that people on that list in Indiana are necessarily going to choose Donald Trump at a convention. Now, the primary vote may go for Donald Trump, although it is starting to swing towards Ted Cruz here in Indiana.
Oh, no, it's shut out.
Is it?
The delegates aren't going to pledge for Donald Trump in Indiana. He's not going to get any.
How does that work? Explain that.
They're going to suspend the rules.
Oh, okay.
That's what happened in Colorado.
That's what happened in
Wyoming. Like it's not that they don't know the rules. It's that the rules that are in place are being suspended.
So basically, what happened?
It doesn't matter if you hire a consultant if they change the rules.
Rule 40B, is that what you're?
No, that's not that. It's like right now they have the ability to, regardless of who the delegate or the primary results are given to, they have the ability to shut out. And pledge and say never Trump.
Pledge to who they want.
That's what happened in Colorado. Colorado, same thing.
Yeah, so that's interesting. I hadn't heard that, but I have seen that at the last two Indiana state conventions in 2008 and 2012 with Ron Paul supporters. The reason that we have Greg Zeller as our attorney general in Indiana is that Mitch Daniels handpicked a guy named John Costas to be our attorney general. He had all the backing of all the political establishment, people like Bob Grand, who's the head of the major law firm that controls all the money in the state. He had Mitch Daniels. He was the sure bet. But Greg Zeller decided to run anyways, the cousin of Fuzzy Zeller. Greg also has a righteous mustache and is running for Congress in the 9th District here in Indiana, or the 8th District. I don't
against,
know
which. Against, the guy that came to save us from Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
Trey Hollingsworth.
Yeah, Trey Hollingsworth.
Trey Hollingsworth and Brent Waltz, who, if you are in that district, you should not vote for Brent Waltz. He's a terrible human being, and I risk a lawsuit by saying that, because he's that kind of guy.
Don't forget about Aaron Houchin if you're going to mention everybody in that race.
And so what happened is, in 2008, they changed those rules to keep Ron Paul delegates out, and if you know who Chris Faulkner, Faulkner Strategies is, you know he's not a nut. He's a very well-established, fantastic direct mail marketing guy, campaign strategist for a lot of Republicans, you know, even Romney and up. I mean, he personally told me they shut out 300 delegates, and it's the worst mistake they ever made in 2008, because all that did is motivated all those young Ron Paul people to not be Republicans and start being independent libertarian thinkers. And, you know, I remember covering the 2008 convention here in Indiana and people coming up to me crying, saying, "You've got to cover this. You've got to tell our story." And I did, but I had a blog that had, you know, 50 people that hit it every day. I'll see if I can find the post from Eric Rowe that kind of outlined exactly what had happened, but and posted on We Are Libertarians, because you have to understand what is happening to Donald Trump people. They think that it's new. But this happened in 2008 and 2012 to Ron Paul delegates. Absolutely. They were shut out, so Ron Paul didn't have a chance to speak at the convention, at both conventions. And so Ron Paul in 2008 held his own convention. He held his own convention with his own delegates.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was an awesome event in St. Paul.
Yep.
The Rally for the Republic.
So And you can go look up the Rally Republican, see kind of all the details of that. So what do you think is going to happen, Greg?
Oh, I mean, Trump. One thing that they're going to have to watch is Trump's going to get above 50% in New York, and then that means he'll probably get between 85 and 95 delegates there. Mm-hmm. Next one's Connecticut. He'll win there big.
Right.
So then he has momentum again. And so now, like right now, he's been in a little lull.
Right.
But they don't have the ability to block those. So then he has the ability to say, I'm being unfairly discriminated against. He also has the ability to run third party and lose it for the Republicans no matter what. And he doesn't even have to do anything. He could literally just hold a daily press conference on his way into Trump Tower mm-hmm. for president and guarantee that Hillary Clinton won, no matter mm-hmm. what the Republicans did.
So we're moving into close primary states. Like here in Indiana, what that means is that you have to be a Republican to vote in the primary. I don't vote in the primaries just because I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat.
Well, and it's against the law for you to
vote. Right. And that's technically how you register for a party. So that those states favor Ted Cruz because Trump pulls a lot of independent voters. Yeah. Now
and crossover with and the crossover, Democrats.
Exactly. Right.
But he's got Pennsylvania, New York, and Connecticut left. So if he does well in those, you're talking he gets to within 100. And mm-hmm. I've always thought if he gets within 50, they'll gin up 50.
Right.
Someone that, you know, got 50 delegates will pledge to Trump, and that'll be probably his VP pick.
Right.
If it's 100, I think he goes to the first round. If he doesn't get it, then I think it's 81% are only bound after that, so 19% become unbound on the second round. And at that point, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
That's because the Paul Ryan versus John Kasich kind of battle.
And Paul Ryan's running.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
As much talk as there has been about him, that has to be what the plan is for the non-running.
If he would say he was, that gives everyone in the press the opportunity to start criticizing him. Right now, he's like the great yep. healer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If all he has to keep doing is saying he was not running,
he was drafted,
I got drafted
in the same way he was for speaker.
Then he won't face a single negative attack ad within his own party.
Right. That's smart. And you're right. I mean, he did say, I won't be speaker, and now he's speaker.
Yeah.
It's like Nick Saban. I'm not leaving the Miami Dolphins. I'm not leaving. And then all of a sudden, he's the coach at Alabama with $7 million.
Yeah, right. two years after being at Miami.
Right. You know, Paul Ryan is, that'll be the person in a brokered convention. It's just, if it is a brokered convention in today's media, the election's over. They already hate Republicans. The press hates Republicans. They see them as
absolutely.
Backwoods idiots. You think just because they saved the party and did the right thing by not letting Donald Trump be the nominee, the press are going to go any easier in election year?
No. I also look at the Republican Party and go, well, it's their right to choose. This is absolutely not a general election. They don't have to be fair. It's a private organization.
Absolutely.
You know, and I've long maintained that, like, the private organizations of the Democrats and Republicans should not force taxpayers to pay for primaries and caucuses. Mm-hmm. It should be at their expense.
Yeah. You mean the way that the libertarians do it, where mm-hmm. we pay for it out of our own pockets
yeah.
and choose our nominee like we will in Orlando at the end of May?
You know, We Are Libertarians is sponsoring a booth at the Libertarian Party of Indiana convention to do some outreach, and our money is going to help offset the cost of that convention. So what are you smirking at?
I thought it's outreach may not be the right word.
Outreach. Live trolling.
Live trolling is probably the more appropriate term.
I may have memes.
I thought it was meme distribution.
I have I have memes, bro.
Involuntary meme distribution.
Tyler and I will be at the table dealing memes.
I will be selling dank memes out back.
So yeah, I could totally see the Republican Party. I think the odds at this point in my mind are that Donald Trump will not be the nominee. What do you guys think?
I don't know. It's too crazy right now to even make prediction.
I don't know.
I think it all depends on where the next few states go, as far as how much what Trump actually gets, as far as delegate.
I have no thoughts to share on Trump.
I have thanks, no thoughts. Thanks for being here, Aaron.
Yeah. 47 minutes in, Aaron said like 5 words.
He's not used to having a microphone, to be fair. I mean, you normally don't let him.
he doesn't want America to be great again.
He doesn't.
I want Jeb to get back in the race.
Troy, who do you think is going to be the Republican nominee?
Interestingly enough, I think Cruz is going to pull it out, and I think that'll be the death of the Republican Party, because mm-hmm. at that point, it's you know, the totally the Ralph Reed religious right, Glenn Beck faction that takes control of it.
And it's a southeastern party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And the establishment will pull out and we'll have the Whigs all over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if there's a book called Lincoln's Melancholy that I read, that I love that book, and it's about Lincoln's struggle with depression throughout his life. And they basically talk about the rise of the Republican Party in that book as well. And one of the striking parts, I remember listening to this in 2010, 2011, and they talked about how nobody wanted to identify themselves as a Whig. There was always a qualifier on it. Well, I'm a conservative Whig, or I'm a Ted Cruz Whig, or I'm a Donald Trump Whig, or I'm a...
Donald Trump Whig?
Yeah. And
that's real.
So, and that reminds me of the Republican Party. How many Republicans... Well, I'm not a Republican. I'm a conservative. I vote Republican, but I'm not a Republican. You know, and it's... And it only comes down to people that earn a paycheck directly from the Republican Party that are proud to associate themselves with the Republican Party. You know, a lot of that is because of the media, but I do think that we're seeing the last death throes of the Republican Party. And I think a lot of it was caused by gay marriage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why, like, if you take out
Donald
Trump...
That's why they were trying to make it illegal. They wanted to keep the party intact.
Right.
Yeah. While they wandered off to irrelevance and electoral defeat. But, you know, that's, if you take away Donald Trump's antics, he's everything the establishment establishment Republicans have ever wanted. He brings in brand new group of people and huge no other politician in America can have 10,000 people show up at a rally over 3 times a day.
Yeah.
And that's just not possible. Hillary can barely get 80.
How do you deal with, if you're a Trump supporter and you're a delegate choosing Trump, how do you deal with the fact that his presence on the ticket directly impacts those down ballot races and you lose the Senate and Congress? His presence, his negatives are, there was a thing that came out over the weekend, an ABC poll, that the only presidential candidate ever to have higher negative ratings was David Duke, the Klansman, at 69 points of unfavorability to Donald Trump's 67. I mean, when you look at that, those are not that's not guaranteeing that he's going to beat Hillary Clinton if he's the nominee.
He's the only one to meet with a shot because he takes away the largest block of her voters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
White union males.
Yep.
They're not going to vote for her. And this is an election I don't think that's going to be about swaying moderates. With these two candidates, there's no way. So it's going to be entirely about turnout.
Yeah.
And so you might only have 45-46% participation because people will look at it and say, God, it's Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Yeah. I'm staying home. I'm not going to take the time off work.
The Tea Party is great at turnout in their rural areas. So they won't be able to compete in the metro areas, but out in the sticks and the boonies, the Tea Party will get them out for Trump. He will be the chosen one of that group.
He's getting record turnouts in every primary.
Yeah.
Without having a ground game. Yeah.
But if you make Kasich the nominee, aren't you going to get Republican turnout because they're against Hillary Clinton and you have more of a chance of crossover for moderates and independents to the Republican Party?
Like the American Electric, 7% independent.
Mm-hmm.
So realistically, you can bet that 5% might sway towards one nominee, like in the case of Obama versus Romney or Obama versus McCain, or 4.5, really, 4.5, 3.5, or 2.5. This election, in my opinion, it isn't going to be that because the moderates are going to stay home.
Yeah. Well, and when you run a moderate candidate like McCain or Romney, we see what happens.
They get their ass kicked, and John Kasich loses. No, I mean, mm-hmm. He can pick Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio in his own primary got 2%.
Yeah.
I mean, and then he's not. Jeb Bush won't accept VP.
Yeah.
So the old way for the Republicans to win is Ohio and Florida.
Florida. Yeah.
But that is rapidly going away. So they either have to shift west, and it have to be like a Gary Johnson coming back and Rand Paul if they want to have a future, or they have to take back the industrial Midwest. One candidate. Donald Trump's pulling ahead by 1% of Hillary Clinton in Pennsylvania. That changes the whole game.
Right. So is Kasich still in the race just to gather delegates and be kingmaker at the convention?
He wants to be the savior that Paul Ryan isn't willing to say he's going to be.
Right.
He's still technically in fourth, isn't he?
Really?
Yeah. I think Rubio's still ahead of him.
That's very funny. All right. Well, we need to wrap up because this has been an unexpected episode of We Are Libertarians. Never expect the Spanish Inquisition.
An organic
episode.
Grassroots, if you will.
Grassroots. Yeah. Grassroots. Still ended up being like an hour and a half once I added all this stuff together. We can't keep it under an hour and a half if we want. So let's wrap it up. Give everybody the last word. Self-promote. If you want to plug your photography business, Troy, I don't know, you're moving to California. So if we have California listeners and you want the best wedding photographer possible.
Sorry, that business is closed. I'm actually looking to teach college now, so I actually have a master's. But let me jump back and say the book that I mentioned earlier was Kingdom Coming by Michelle Goldberg. I think it was written in 2004. Talks about the Dominionists.
Goldberg.
That is a great read. Also, check out if you're into finding out what David Barton stands for and how he maligns the facts and truth in his work. Check out Liars for Jesus, Volume 2 is the better read by Chris Rada.
All right.
Liars for Jesus,
Volume 2.
You are really making Aaron happy right now.
No, I've been silently rustled the whole time he was talking about...
Nobody hates Christians earlier. More than Aaron.
Whatever. Come on.
Well, according to the Tea Party, I hate Christians badly, but... Yeah, I'm glad to know Aaron's the guy.
You too. Yeah. You're Christian. You know, you're basically Muslims, but not.
Pastafarian, please.
Pastafarian.
Pastafarian.
First Church of Reform. Yeah.
I can't wait to get the strainer picture on my ID.
Oh, yeah.
Little Brett Bittner, please lay out what we should all do.
Podcasting at our own pace. Well, I'm still trying to decide as I figure out which strings to pull for which thing, but feel free to follow me on Twitter. I'm at Brett Bittner on Facebook, facebook.com/BittnerForLiberty. If you guys are interested in one of the Freedom is My Favorite F-Word stickers that Chloe brought up on a recent episode, we still have those going on. Go to theadvocates.org/freedom-sticker.
Is she a good assistant?
Oh, boy, she is not going to like that you said that.
I know.
All.
What's her deal?
You'll have to ask her. You missed it earlier.
I've been spreading that Chloe is Brett's assistant and not an account rep.
She's the media director for the Advocates.
And she is going to punch me in the face, I'm pretty sure.
How do you like your coffee, Brett?
Oh, see, I don't drink coffee, so that's a tough question to ask.
All right. Aaron, Ewart?
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for participating.
You guys are just overpowering here with all your podcast prowess.
It's all of our influence. We can't handle it.
Yeah.
Plus, these topics trigger Aaron.
I'm like a sponge, you know. I'm just sitting over here absorbing all your wealth of knowledge.
Periscoping the shit out of this.
Yeah. Browsing dank memes. I did notice that you stole one of my memes and shared it on the Bob and Tom page, and it got like 3,000 likes.
You're welcome.
That made me feel good.
Which one was it?
He redistributed it.
It works.
That's one of the funniest memes I've seen in a long time.
Let's be honest. You didn't make that, did you?
No.
Yeah. So, shut up.
You didn't. Did Columbus
make it? Anyhow, nobody discovered
IP,
it.
I'm looking. I'm just kidding. I'm looking forward to meeting everyone at the convention. I've never been to one, so.
And awesome. He's very well behaved. So, and he's very
in real life.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah. And he's not nearly as toxic as Chris Brett and I.
No. Yeah, we're very toxic.
Toxicity.
Tyler Weiss.
Thanks for having me on. Thanks for letting me get a few headshots in.
Nice.
Even though I was about 3 hours late.
See, what people don't understand about this photo shoot? Great meme material for you boys.
Oh,
that was the secret plan behind all.
I'm kind of happy I didn't get a whole lot of sweet poses.
Greg?
Come out, say hi at the convention if you're here in Indiana. Is there anything else? Oh, come out and see us on the 25th at Morty's Comedy Joint. We Are Libertarians' first live event.
Please. We really want you all there, and we want to prove this is... I'm like excited to see if anybody shows up, to be quite frank. Like, how many people want to come see a live political podcast at a comedy club?
I'm hoping you all Uber in and get wasted with us at the... lots of beer.
On a Monday night.
I'm truly...
Call in already right now for Tuesday.
I'm truly expecting nobody to show up, so I'm keeping my expectations low. So I really I would love for this to be a monthly event. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to plan something. I don't know. or we're just going to stand up on stage and do what we always do.
Show memes.
Make it up as we go along.
A slideshow of memes?
That's a slideshow of memes that Jeremiah Morrill didn't let me give out of the Henry County Convention.
It'll turn into an improv podcast.
I'm looking on Craigslist for projectors right now.
You know, you can get a pocket projector. You can get a projector like that attaches to your iPhone that's like this big. You could just have memes wherever you go.
We're doing libertarianism, a history and memes. It won't be a talkie, though. It'll be silent.
Has the meme thing ruined your life as much as it's ruined mine, Greg?
Not so much lately, because I have more and more people. Well, actually, yeah, it did. Cause just after that convention, someone was like, "Hey, man, if you get a chance, could you meme me?" And I thought, isn't that the most odd thing to be asked when you're leaving a convention?
It would like be such an honor if you memed me.
Yeah, you know, if you just had the time. And I was like, all right, okay.
And like, people were so surprised at how well-spoken and how great your speech was. If you haven't listened to the speech that we posted in the feed right before this that Greg gave at the convention, I mean, listeners to this program, they know how thoughtful and intelligent and well-spoken you are. But people who just follow us on Facebook must think that you're just like some drooling idiot and just post funny pictures all the time, not knowing like
some basement dwelling anarchist like with an internet point scoreboard in the background.
It takes like so much thought and intelligence and humor to create a meme that's actually good.
It is. It's hard.
It is. It's very hard. And you know, and then people are like, "I'm very impressed with Greg. He was really well spoken and intelligent."
Yeah,
I was like, "Thanks. He's not a moron." Like,
I wouldn't let a moron
listened?
On my podcast.
Like, well,
the easiest way to get memed by Greg is to make one of him.
Yeah,
and that's how.
I follow the NAP.
No. Yeah, the MAP.
Yeah, the MAP.
Yeah,
memes aggression principle.
Yes, I will not meme. And the first meme I ever made of you was at your request. You wanted to be Ein Ewert.
I don't remember that.
It was when you had me first join the Brutalists, and you were like, "Hey." Because I'd made you as Joe Biden, too. Then you wanted yourself as Ayn Rand.
Yeah, and then I made a picture of your sister.
Very progressive.
Yeah. I made that of you after your change. Still,
Greg's transition was so brave and progressive.
I make one little meme. He makes an entire character for me and whole Facebook page and trolls the shit out of me for
how
a
is
year
Belinda
and a half.
Doing?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Belinda's doing well. Sure. Did you happen to see her music video?
No, I need to check that out.
The best memes are the ones where Aaron is basically a terrible father and his children.
I learned my lesson hard on those.
It's funny because it's not true.
Yeah, okay. That's what I had to explain is that I wouldn't do this if this was something that I actually believed. You
like
know?
Aaron's a great dad, but the because he's always on the internet, the meme behind the scenes is that in the chats is that his children are thirsting for his time and his attention.
We take every picture with his kids that he's not in, and then we'll draw like a red circle of where Aaron wasn't.
and we can't
his
share
wife
them.
Doesn't love that.
We can't share them because her and the kids are off limits. Rightly so. Off limits in terms of issues, but
daddy's on the memes again.
The greatest thing ever is that we started like joking about how memes like
drugs.
Interchanging memes and drugs. And like people have really like bought like Christine's mom saying, "Hey, stay away from the meme boys.
Yeah,
you'll get hooked on the memes." So it's very funny.
It's a way of life.
All right, thank you for joining us for this episode of We Are Libertarians. We love you. We hope to see you on the 25th or at the Libertarian Party of Indiana convention or at the AFF event on what night? The following Thursday,
April the 28th.
April 28th.
Well, that's when the networking will start at 7. If you can't make it right at 6:30, we understand, but you may not see us right away because we're doing a little brief tour of the microbrewery at Triton.
Cool. So please feel free to join us for an America's for American.
America's Future Foundation.
Is he a board member?
You would think that he would be able to get the name right.
I just call it AFF.
You know, he just is like, are the Kochs funding this? I don't care what it's called. Just send the check.
Yep, I'm in. And so thank you for joining us here on We Are Libertarians. We'll talk to you soon. And as always, we promise
to do better next time.
I'll get it right one of these days. We're only 147 episodes in.